This is the Daily Dispatch podcast with your business correspondent, Ted Keenan.
This morning I'm sitting with two directors of East London's top financial company, Envest. It is in fact the only listed company from East London. Gentlemen, would you like to please introduce yourselves?
Morning, Ted. My name is Travis McClure. I'm a private wealth manager with NFB Private Wealth, part of the Envest Financial Holdings Group, and my colleague next to me.
Thanks for having me. I'm Liam Graham, and I run Envest Securities for Envest Financial Holdings.
I think before we kick off, if you guys could just tell us the difference between a stockbroker and a wealth manager.
From a wealth management point of view, it's much more of an engaging with clients and understanding their investor personality and kind of getting the overall picture. We do allocate funds towards stockbroking or equities, where a guy like Liam from Envest would be the specialist. But my role is more of an overall financial planning role for the client, where we look at their building of wealth over time and looking at their specific needs on a personal basis. And then, as I said, there's an allocation to an equity or growth component, which would be handled by Envest Securities in this instance.
Liam, you talk about the ability to be able to just walk up the steps to chat to Travis. You're in the same buildings. What is the advantage of you guys being so close?
I guess, you know, Envest Securities is essentially at the coalface. We invest clients' money directly into the stock market, mainly equities, local and offshore. So it's always good to be able to go upstairs to the wealth managers and just to take their pulse on how clients in general are feeling about the market, and maybe just add some value to ease their minds and to just maneuver them where they should be putting their money. If the equity prices are looking attractive, maybe we try and encourage them to move some clients' money down to us. Or if we think the markets are looking overvalued and it might be time to get more defensive, then we can also give them that sort of message. So it just allows us to work in a very mutually dependent way.
There's a constant contact between the two of you. Travis, we've just come through a pandemic. People have lost jobs. People have lost companies. What are the macro and the micro threats that you believe are facing your clients today?
Obviously, it's been devastating. Lots of businesses lost. Everyone struggled. And there's always this difference between sort of what we call Wall Street and Main Street. And often the markets move different to what's actually happening on the ground floor with the economy. But the macro threats would definitely be, you know, global threats, so maybe global inflation currently, things like COVID that come through, that's a, you know, big effect. Things that are sort of things that you can't control, government, certainly political things that can come into play. So on the micro level, I would guess it'd be more sort of day-to-day stuff on the street for clients themselves. So their own discipline is one that I always, you know, struggle with, is trying to keep clients on the path. You know, stick to the structures that we're trying to do, they're often their own worst enemy. Keeping them saving, other micro things like losing your job, what to do there, make sure you make the right choices. A lot of the time, people bail from their job, take the money, then they pay the tax and they pay heavy penalties, and there are ways around that. And you know, you need to chat to your advisor and say, look, what is the best way to do this? What are the consequences of my decisions?
Liam, macro and micro threats.
I think from our standpoint, you know, we obviously try and assess where the threats and opportunities are, and that provides us with some insight into where we want to invest. So, you know, for instance, Trav talks about inflation, and it's a general theme across the world, the globe at the moment. You know, inflation, a little bit of inflation is actually a good thing. It allows companies to get pricing through their businesses, which end of the day drives cash flows, which ultimately drives the valuations of stock. So in that sort of environment, we're looking for companies that have got very well-known brands that have got the ability to push pricing through and drive revenue. So there'll be an opportunity for those companies. And other companies which have commodity type brands, they won't be able to push pricing through and it'll hurt their bottom line and should be reflected in a negative share price movement. So for us, we try and move within those variables and find opportunities and stay away from the ones that may be damaged by the environment.
You've got a fantastic job because you're spending time looking at individual companies. Do you specialize in any one type of company? I know you've got a lot of associates in there.
You can play the whole market, but we do look at thematics. So, you know, for at the moment, we're looking at technology and there's a clear chip shortage around the world. So we're looking at companies that can benefit from those, from that demand and the increasing supply. So we'll focus on that. You know, as you mentioned, I've got several analysts that work for us at Invest Securities. Plus, we pay a lot of third parties for their research. So we try and reach to multiple places to get investment ideas and our, I guess, insight into things that we look in. But generally, we can move in where we want. But when we do find a thematic that looks attractive, we nail down and drill right into it. So it is quite it's quite nice in that respect.
Travis, South Africans apparently are amongst the world's worst savers. Is your role trying to rectify this on a sort of a client by client basis? And what's the attitude of the younger generation to building wealth?
My answer to these are always as soon as possible and as much as possible. So the question we get asked a lot is how much do I need to retire? And, you know, your comment about bad savers, I think the number is about only 6% retire, you know, comfortably on their sort of same sort of salary. So it's starting early. It's compounding that growth over time. Yes, it is educating the clients to stay the course. I think one of the reasons why we aren't good savers is possibly that we have a lot of expenses. You know, we're not a very good, although we are a social state in many aspects, you know, there's a lot of things that we have to pay for, schooling, housing, transport, etc. Whereas places like maybe the UK, you know, you get free education, you get better healthcare, you get transport that's there. So a lot of costs get taken up by that, you know. In this country, if you retire on a state pension, you pretty much haven't done your job. I mean, you know, the state pension is 1,800 rand a month. It's not sustainable. And then to come back to your question around the youngsters, I think it's an instant gratification world. So they're after the quick money. You know, there's a lot of sort of online share trading. There's a lot of crypto gets thrown into it, you know, and that's great and it can work. But the thing is, you've got to still stay the course, keep saving, keep compounding. The cliched eighth wonder of the world of compound interest, compound growth, good assets. You know, Liam will buy the good assets that will grow against inflation. And the other thing that we use is diversification. You know, you can't have all your eggs in one basket. And I know that's a cliche, but it's the truth. Diversification is the only free lunch you get. So we have to diversify the portfolio into different things. And we'll allocate those assets accordingly and according to those clients' needs.
With your comment about the state pensions and that sort of thing, one of the scariest pieces of news that came out a while ago was government's proposal to allow people to draw out already. I think it was 40% of their pensions. What sort of knock does that incur on people's wealth building?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, I think the reason for that was a lot of it to do with what happened with COVID, and they're allowing, you know, people see their money sitting there. And they can't survive day to day. So I understand the reasoning behind that. The problem is the tax consequences and what that does. You take 40% out of your portfolio now. To make that back over time is very difficult. You take a big knock. And what people forget as well is if you take 50% out of a portfolio to get back to 100, you've got to grow it by 100%. You know, it's not, so it takes time. And depending on how that money is used, if it's just spent for day to day stuff, you're probably never going to make that back. So there's a lot of discipline in our game, you know, trying to keep the money invested, you know, trying to compound that growth and just letting people know the implications of their choices so that they can make informed choices.
You chaps are almost psychologists. Do you have a lot of trouble persuading people to stay in? I know between the two of you, you've got 6,000 odd clients. That's a lot of people to be speaking to.
Yeah, there is a lot of psychology, you know, and you've also got to take the emotion out of it as well. So, you know, when investing, and Liam can allude a bit more on that, is you've got to look at the cold hard facts. You've got to look at the numbers of the company, and you've got to, you know, look away from what's happening with politics. And, you know, sometimes that the noise and excuse me for saying this, the media, you know, can really fuel that emotion. And if you remove the emotion, you look at the, as I say, the facts and stick to the knitting, you should be okay. And staying, I mean, last year our market lost 40% or 50% during the COVID crash. From the bottom, we're up 70 or 80%. You know, we're up, equities are up 30% over the last year. So had you just stayed invested and, you know, stayed with a good fund manager, you would have come through the process okay. But in that process, when it's looking terrible, that's when the panic hits, and that's when the psychology comes in, and we've got to calm people down and, you know, make sure that they don't make rash decisions.
Liam, besides charging up and down to consult with Travis, you also have your own client base. Are people still comfortable in the stock market, or is it really just for the wealthy?
No, I think that it's for everyone. I think that you just got to understand that it's not instant rewards. Going into the market, you need to have a 3 to 5 year time frame, I think. And if you come in the market with that sort of mindset, you prepare yourself to ride through some of the tough times and actually benefit when things go in your favor. And I think ultimately, you know, global GDPs are always growing. So you need to benefit from that accumulation. And, you know, as Travis alluded to, emotions drive a hell of a lot of people's behavior. I mean, we always joke and say our busiest days at Invest Securities is Thursday, because most of the bowls clubs pay bowls on Wednesday, and we get phone calls because everyone, you know, spreads stories, and we get the calls to say, oh, I want to get out of this and I want to get out of that. So and so from the bowls club told me that, you know, this is going to happen. So a lot of the times it's absolutely managing people's, I guess, mindset, you know. And, you know, if you can control that, you know, and build money over time, I think that you'll benefit from it. And anyone, it's the stock market is for anyone. I think we're starting to see that. I mean, there's a lot of new firms starting up which offer very low cost stock broking facilities, and it tries to encourage more and more people to get involved.
I have an idea. It was Warren Buffett that once said, if he's going to get advice on the stock market from the chap who shines his shoes, then it's time to get out for a while. Are people able to stay the long term, especially at a time like COVID? Now, I'm not asking you to crystal ball, but how long is COVID going to last? Well, how long is COVID going to last? And are people happy to stay in?
You know, I think that's a great question. I think ultimately, if you can dig in and understand what drives a company and what drives the share price of that company, you're much more comfortable holding that company through various periods of uncertainty. You know, and when we look at the numbers, we actually think that the companies that operate within the South African market and the globe are in a fantastic shape, and much better than most people are giving them credit for. And that's showing through in very low valuations. So it's actually a very good time to invest now, because as people come out of COVID and we start to normalize, I think sentiment towards the future prospects of companies and job employment will get better, and that appreciation will show up in the stock market. So I think it's created a nice opportunity here for people to start investing, and we actually see quite nice upside still in the local markets especially.
Earlier, I spoke to Travis about what age should people start their wealth creation. Is there some sort of program that you chaps have that encourages younger people to play on the stock market? Not to invest a fortune, but to just understand how it works.
So we don't, Ted, but you know, there are those sort of things. I mean, we've recently hired a couple of new staff members. And one of the criteria was you had to have a passion for the stock market. And we had a lot of people come forward and said they had a passion for the stock market, but they actually had never invested their own money. And I said to them, if you have got a passion, then just go out and at least study. There's some virtual platforms that you can do at absolutely no cost. Or as I said, there's some very low cost platforms out there from our competitors that are essentially close to free of charge, and they can put money into things that they like. You know, if you like something, and you know, I'll use an example, Apple, everyone's got an iPhone. If you think that technology is the way forward and that focuses your mind and you start to learn how the stock market works. So it's open to anyone, and I encourage anyone, if they do have a passion, get in, look at some things you like, and you know, invest. You can invest 100 rand, you can invest nothing, but look at, get involved.
And we've got some great companies in South Africa as well, some great new companies. And if you're interested in business, I suppose they could look at those companies and say, well, that's the ones I'm going to go for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and you know, information is freely available. The internet has given people the power, you know, to do the research themselves. So, you know, most companies have an investor relations page in their website. They all publish financial documentation. There's presentations. You know, you can trawl through Google and pick up little bits and pieces of information. So the tools are all there. You just got to apply it. And at the end of the day, it's about the experience in the market that counts, because then you get a feel of the ebbs and flows of things.
Okay, Travis, what do you advise people that want to get their wealth offshore?
Going back to my comments about diversification, that's one of the things we obviously look at. And as a, you know, South African investor, we make up less than 1% of the world economy. We have got great companies locally, like you say. We've got a good financial setup. We've got great management teams. But at the end of the day, you know, you can shop at the corner shop or you could shop at the massive mall. And globally, you've got access to so much more. Probably much stronger, maybe better run companies with a much bigger global presence. So it's important to diversify offshore. It's quite easy to do it these days. It used to be quite a hurdle. You can invest offshore with your local money through an asset swap, as we call it, or you can take the money directly overseas, where you actually physically buy the dollars and pounds and the money sits outside the country. The other thing to remember is a lot of our local companies are global companies. They may be listed here, but they actually invest and get a lot of their revenue from overseas. So even though you might be in the local JSE, you actually do have a rand hedge component to that as well. And over time, our rand generally depreciates, but it's not a one-way bet all the time. So we do look at the currency as part of it. But at the end of the day, you want your money making money in dollars. So one day when you retire, you hopefully have a portion that's coming from overseas that's maybe a little dollar or pound stipend or pension effectively, along with your South African money, etc. And our one theme that we look at is income local, growth global. Our yields and interest rates are much higher here because of our inflation is higher. So we look at trying to get your income from a local source mainly. But if you want to grow your money, then you look more globally. And that's where the growth comes from.
Our offshore book now in Invest Securities is equal to our local book. And, you know, there's just absolutely nothing stopping people to invest or open an offshore portfolio if that's what they want to do.
Do you chaps look at China in any way?
Absolutely.
Studying Cantonese, perhaps?
Not Cantonese, but I mean, it has been a big part of our investment theses. Obviously, you know, they've got a large consumer population. They've got very powerful companies. You know, dealing with a sort of, what do they like to call themselves, capital communist party, which has a lot of control on how the market works. So there's a lot of dynamics there. We've recently had a big spate of regulations being placed on various companies. So we've had to focus on what's going on. We've become quasi-Chinese experts, but it's a big part of the investment horizon, and you have to know what's going on there, and there's a lot of opportunity if you make the right calls.
Thank you, Liam and Travis, for coming in. So, investors, whether you're interested in China, the rest of the world, or the South African market, the strong message that came through is start early.